Gospel today comes from Matthew chapter 21. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, a foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them and sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. So this is a great story to start our week. Something happens or happened that week, and people experienced this in something that was incredibly powerful. Palm Sunday. People told me this week that it's the beginning of the promise toward the fulfillment of the end. Thought that was pretty cool. Somebody said that this day leads to the central aspect of Christianity. All the parts we celebrate, honor, and remember this last week of Jesus' life on earth. The five fingers that we celebrate. This triumphant entry, the Last Supper and servanthood, the new commandment to love one another, the trial, death, and burial are united in baptism, and then the glorious resurrection of the victory over death. But we build our story by starting today. It's Passover. So there's no work for 7 days, and everyone gathers at the temple. There's a pilgrimage of families for this festival. There's millions of people in Jerusalem. And they gather to remember the time that the firstborn in Egypt were passed over from being killed because they marked their doorposts with the blood of a sacrificed lamb. They remember the time where their ancestors were set free from the cruel slavery in Egypt. So they come together to sacrifice in the temple. There's a special feast of lamb. There's bread made without yeast. So the context is that we are 2/3 of the way through the first century. Israel is under Roman rule. The Roman general Pompey, conquered Jerusalem and deposed the king. The Jews were under the yoke of this Roman rule. So people were looking for, they were yearning for a messianic deliverer who would once and for all restore to Israel the throne of David and establish God's kingdom. So it's said that that day there were two processions happening in Jerusalem. The Roman battalion is on Syrian Road, advancing through the Damascus Gate. And you can see these awesome stallions, clanging hooves against the pavement, these gleaming metal lances, swords, dirks, helmets, polished leather armor, saddles, boots, and drums. Magnificent army coming through. Pilate was marching with his men. Some say that he was marching to send a message that any trouble during this Jewish feast days would be crushed. So then, on the opposite side of town, at Beautiful Gate, coming through the olive grove, Jesus stole all that pomp and circumstance from Pilate's ceremonial procession. Jesus rides alone, sitting on a donkey, proclaiming peace, perhaps one leg draped over a colt. Someone's cloak is under him. And I picture laughter and foolishness brought by these travelers, together waving in a crowd, and they're throwing palm branches. Although not in our gospel today, but they're throwing palm branches to welcome him on the path. So we see this anti-imperial, anti-triumphant procession of peasants. Jesus is portraying the shepherd appointed by God according to the prophecy of Zechariah. Jesus riding in to fulfill this prophecy. So we have all these crowds gathered, obviously for the Passover, but some of them, I'm sure, traveled with Jesus. They've been building and following Jesus throughout all the region. He had the Sermon on the Mount where they hear his teachings. They're astonished by his authority. They saw him heal the sick and cast out demons. He's fed large crowds, 4,000 or 5,000, twice. They've never seen anything like it. So again today, as they shout, "Hosanna, save us, we pray. Liberate us from the Roman oppressors." And they definitely get more than what they hoped for. But they didn't get it in the moment. At the end of the text, did you hear them ask, "Who is this?" Some gathered who had heard and seen Jesus before. Some want to know what's happening in the street full of laughter and shouting. Some don't even know his name. But he touched a dream that they share, a dream of a different time. Some want Pilate with different politics. Some want the empire of their dreams. Some want the new Elijah. Some want the new Solomon. Some really don't know what they want, but they gather anyway, much like us, probably sitting here today. Even the disciples are confused by what's happening, what Jesus is doing in this moment. So what motivates this crowd? What motivates us? What motivates us to seek Jesus? What do we believe that he came to accomplish? The city is in chaos and turmoil. This unclear crowd on what exactly, who exactly Jesus is. So Gallup pollsters, Gallup surveys, asked Americans which historical figure they would most like to spend the day with. 2 out of 3 chose Jesus. 37% of those that chose Jesus claimed to have no church affiliation. So Jesus still intrigues people today. So I decided I was going to test this theory in the most bold way, as I'm sitting at a restaurant, which I love to do. So I decided to just ask people around me, "Who is this Jesus?" So I got some great answers. He's a friend, a companion, a nobody, a prophet, a savior, a healer. All sorts of stories came, some good, some bad, some just astounding. One couple was appalled that I would even speak the name Jesus in public and ask the manager to make me leave. It's a good thing I knew the manager. He let me stay. One couple came over and they prayed with me, for me, over a sermon, over the attention to details of Holy Week. It was beautiful, it was strange, it was uncomfortable, but it was good. One man sat around all afternoon. He actually decided to join a bunch of us at the table, and he listened and he talked and he wondered about who is this Jesus. He said, "I'm intrigued." I said, "Great." Everyone, most everyone around that table that gathered or listened or complained or whatever wanted something different from Jesus or from God. But they all came down, it all came down to the same type of liberation. No matter what they were looking for, they were looking to be liberated from whatever was holding them back, holding them down. Same as the people in that original crowd. And we always get more than what we expect from God. Because God does not save in the ways that we think. God doesn't rule the way humans do. God dominates with love, not violence. God overpowers through sacrifice, not by taking away. And God wins by suffering, not humiliation. Suffering by aligning God's self with those who suffer. All of this is God's ongoing, liberating action for you, for me, for all of God's creation. So if you were to trace your hand today on the back of your bulletin and remember these 5 days, 5 ways that we get to honor and celebrate this week, how would you praise God? What would you praise God for? How might you share that this week, contemplate that this week, as we continue this journey of liberation? What might you need to be liberated from? I bet you could fill those 5 fingers. How might you allow God to make a difference in your life this week? Because he surely does. In every way possible. How might you let God fill those 5 fingers and your palm? May God be with you on your journey.